When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Broadcasting from the Ante Up Studio, it's the longest running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A-Team. It's Friday the 13th. Welcome to the Ante Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales. I introduced some new Patreon members last week, and for some reason the names didn't come across for all of them, so I just had a few nicknames. But Cajun Joe reached out to me with his name, so let me give him a proper introduction. Joe Borden, welcome and thank you. Also, we have a new member of Patreon this week, and their name is Dawson Page. Welcome to you as well. I look forward to seeing all of you in the next Patreon game on PokerStars. I also have a giveaway for our Patreon members this week. Last week, we had Gareth James and Byron Jacobs on, and they were nice enough to offer some free copies of their book, The Final Table, to give away. I want to go ahead and give one of those away this week. So I have your names all in the random wheel, and let's give it a spin. And it looks like our winner is going to be Vincent Frigno. Congratulations, Vincent. I'll reach out to you and I will get your information so that we can send you this book. So that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Vincent. And congratulations. And we'll do some more giveaways from time to time. So if you haven't joined us on Patreon yet, go to patreon.com/antiuppoker. I'll have a link to it in the show description. Now, let's have a word from our sponsor this week, Manscaped. If you guys saw the social media post, you already know that I got my new Manscaped razor this week, and I used it to shave my face, and it was the smoothest shave I have had in years. I love it, and it's fresh face fall now. So, Manscaped offers the new Handyman electric face shaver, and it's the perfect tool for men with all beard lengths. I didn't shave for days before using it, and I was so impressed. So whether you're just lining up your neckline or shaving your face smooth to feel that autumn breeze, make sure to join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use our exclusive code ANTIUP20 for 20% off and free shipping. I know it's October, but stores are already putting out their Christmas decorations, and you can start thinking about a gift or two. This one is a no-brainer. Go to manscaped.com, use our code ANTIUP20, and get 20% off and free shipping. That's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle. Hey, Elle. How's it going?
Ayo! Happy Friday!
It's Friday the 13th.
Oh! It is, isn't it? Spooky. I think we'll stay home tonight.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. It's not a full moon, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Good.
Wouldn't that be terrible? Friday the 13th, full moon, and yeah. Fall.
Oh! Hey, we're going to be joined by a special guest later on with Carnival Cruise to kind of talk about the cruise line and stuff. But before we get to him.
Well, before you jump in, I want to say how excited I am about our special guest, because he has so much great information about our cruise next year. and cannot wait to have Tommy on the show. So super excited. He'll be joining us in a few minutes.
Yeah, we've got him kind of hiding in the green room right now, and we'll bring him in a little bit. But so we found this new show. That's the first thing I want to talk about.
Back of House.
Yeah, Back of House. It's put on, it's Mohegan Sun. They're a hotel casino in Connecticut.
Beautiful.
A huge casino hotel.
Mm, beautiful. They have a Chihuly sculpture. There's my art nerd coming out. They have a Chihuly. It's amazing.
They have this show called Back of House, and it kind of gives you this behind the scenes look at all of the entertainment and stuff that goes on at the resort.
And by behind the scenes, he's talking about like the people that do the promotions, the people that are in charge of transportation, the people that are in charge of planning big events, the people that are in charge of getting talent in as far as like music artists. It's really cool look at what they're doing.
It really is. And I had no idea the show existed.
Me either.
But it's in its seventh season. The seventh season actually premiered this week, and I don't know how I missed the first six, but we watched a little bit of it last night.
And we watched the whole season, Joe. We watched entire season one.
And almost all of season two.
it sucks you in, because also, contrary to what most people are probably thinking, oh my gosh, they sat and watched 8 or 10 hours of television last night. No, it's between 5 and 7 minute clips. So you guys can watch these on your lunch break. You can watch it on your commute. You can watch it when you're waiting for your kids to go to sleep with the caption on or whatever. I mean, whenever and wherever you can access, I think it's YouTube, right?
Yeah.
The series is out on YouTube, and it's really quick, informative glimpses at what goes on behind the scenes there. It's really neat. And you get to follow different employees and their regular routines and what their responsibilities are. And I can't wait to keep watching it, because it's fascinating to me.
It really is. It really is. And it's on YouTube, like you said, but it's also on backofhouse.tv.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So if you just want to go straight, you know, on your phone or whatever, rather than searching for it on YouTube, then you can find it on backofhouse.tv.
And just to give you some teasers, I mean, they host people like DJ Khaled. They host Billy Joel. They have, what are those car shows that bring in thousands and thousands and thousands of people?
Yeah. Yeah. The Barrett Jackson collector show.
They have 1,200 college students check in at one time. Dear God, bless their souls. But, you know, I mean, they are managing exclusive events like Kenny Chesney, the Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Right.
Unveiling of who they chose. I mean, these are not like small town festivals. This is the big deal. And so many people are excited to work and live there because it's in Connecticut. Lots of the employees mentioned that. I mean, I don't have to move to Miami. I don't have to move my family to New York. I don't have to move my family to LA. I can do it right here at home in Connecticut. And so it's neat to really see the hardworking people, the chef, the transportation guy who's in charge of transportation is hilarious. Yeah. I mean, he just tells it like it is. Like they talk about, oh yeah, so-and-so is already wah, wah, wah again. I mean, these are employees that work together. It's not like drama. It is what you would expect to see one coworker teasing another in a productive way. And it's nice to, I also enjoyed seeing the promotions. My gosh, one summer they just walked up to people at table games and gave them $1,000 if they were there.
Yeah.
I would love $1,000 at a table game. Thank you so much. Love that promotion.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, you know, competitive edge, I think I've already said to you, I can't wait to go.
Yeah. And I don't know if I even told you this, but I reached out to the team making the show.
What?
And they are working on getting us somebody from the show on for the podcast.
Oh, so. Oh gosh. Okay. Annie Up Nation, go get a season under your belt so you know who these people are. Super fun. Cannot wait.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to talk to them. But yeah, that is cool. I wanted to talk about that for a minute because I really enjoyed it. And I think because it comes from a casino setting, then that kind of sucked me in. But once we got into it and started watching, then I really was intrigued by the whole process. They have a basketball team there.
Yeah, women's. The WNBA. Women's basketball, top-notch WNBA team. I think it's the Connecticut Sun. And really, really super strong leadership there. Big revenue stream for that location. They changed that arena from like Cirque du Soleil to basketball games to Kenny Chesney to Britney Spears was there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big names. Big names are coming here. So can't wait to actually talk to these. It becomes more about the human side of the casino, not what typically is spoken about. So I'm really glad you found it. And I'm super excited that you contacted someone.
Yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun. But we have our own entertainment options to talk about, actually.
You got that right.
We have this cruise coming up.
1 year.
In October of next year. Almost exactly 1 year from today. It'll be actually 1 year from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And I owe everyone an apology. I messed something up last week or the week before. I mentioned that we would be going to Cozumel, and we're actually going to be going to Half Moon Cay, which is a Carnival's private island in the Bahamas, and Nassau. So our boat will be leaving on a Monday, returning on a Friday. And that's also why we invited Tommy to join us today to tell us a little bit more, because we've gotten a lot of questions. And from what do I wear to why is the main event so much to what should I expect? I hear Carnival's a party cruise. Contrary to popular belief, it's not actually. And we're going to be going in October, a time of year where that demographic would not be joining the cruise anyway. So
actually, you mentioned one thing there with the why is the main event so high? And actually, there have been, you know, like she said, there's been a number of people that have reached out to us that were talking about the price of the main event. So as a result, we listened and we lowered the main event to be $300, which I think that's going to be enticing because that makes the overall cost. You know, if you're playing the main event, now you're getting the main event and we're joined by Tommy Panici.
Less than $850.
I mean, it's going to be so affordable. We're going to have a lot of fun.
You said that earlier. So now we just need to wrap it up.
And you're still going to be able to get those discounts if you're a Patreon member. So I appreciate you joining me another week. Incentive.
And we have so many things to offer.
Always a pleasure being around the table. Maybe not offered in the past.
Likewise.
As far as things that we're going to be able to do together as a group.
Sounds good.
Things that we're going to be able to offer you as an Annie Up guest. And Tommy's here to tell us all about it.
Yeah. So let's bring him in. Let's bring Tommy in from the green room.
Come on down.
And, we are happy to be joined by Tommy Panici with Carnival Cruise Lines. We've been talking about the Annie Up Poker Cruise. So who better to give us some insight on the ship and where we're going to be going and all that. So welcome, Tommy.
Hey, thank you. First, let's make sure if you've never cruised, do not turn this off because we are not a cruise line. We're complete, totally different. We're a vacation company that is one of the best out there. And if you haven't cruised, just give us like 2 minutes. No, seven. Okay. All these like, cruise is not for me. We are not a cruise company. We're a vacation company. And I'll tell you why. There's some great things you're going to learn.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So actually, let's start with the ship itself. I believe it's the Carnival Conquest.
Right.
And so give us some insight on that first. You know, what's the ship going to, what should we expect?
All right. So I'll compare it maybe to a Vegas vacation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's nice when you go there and you gamble. We've got that. We got all those programs. We got everything going, especially with Annie Up. It's going to be a super unique once in a lifetime experience, or once a year, maybe, right? If we keep it going.
Yes.
But the thing is this, I mean, when you go to the desert, I say, you're stuck in the desert. Our ships go to three different islands and we might be able to get you a really good airfare because in most cases we'll sail from 14 different cities that are close to a port in the United States. That's big. You know, we take 6 million people a year. There's 100,000 people right now drinking pina coladas, gambling, and having a great time on a ship somewhere in the Caribbean or in Mexico. But the thing is this, we're going to go to three different destinations when you're on the ship. So when you get off, after you've like played a few games, you're going to be in the Bahamas. You might be in Mexico. You might be in St. Thomas or one of our great private ports. So it's a great experience in addition to a better value. How much is a Guy Fieri hamburger in Vegas? Do you remember?
It's like 15, 20 bucks, right?
What was the last time you were there?
I think it's more.
28.
I think it's like 30 yeah, now, Joe. 28.
Joe, you don't get out much. It's $28.
No. He eats granola bars and plays poker until I get there, right. And then we go out to eat.
Let me tell you how great they are, first of all. They're worth 30 bucks. But on Carnival, unlike other cruise lines that charge or you got to sit and wait, they're free. They're free. You can eat two, three right then and there and just...
I can't wait.
It's fast. Grab it and go. It's our standard buffet. We've got buffets like burritos, great breakfast burritos in our Blue Iguana Cafe that just serve tacos, meat, chicken, pork, all that stuff. But all that stuff is like walk by free. The pizza, I'm Italian. I know pizza. It's great and it's free. But then let's go to the steakhouse that's on the ships. Phenomenal.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Now you're speaking my language.
Blow you away. Where can you have a 3-hour, 2.5-hour dining experience with the hors d'oeuvres that like they come out and impress you with like a smoke covered dome with the caviar on top of the smoked oysters or clams. And the covered dome has smoke in it. It's like those special cocktails.
Yeah.
Yes.
Smoke permeates the table. By the way, we have a cocktail lounge. That's like 11 bucks for a martini or $13. They're great. And they're mixologists. They do that really cool stuff like artisanal made ice cubes and bitters homemade and the fire with the orange peel. And they're, you know what? It's called the Alchemy Bar.
I like it.
When you go to the Alchemy Bar, they serve you in pharmacist outfits and they give you a prescription pad to fill out your drink order.
That's hilarious.
We have a blast. We have a good time. And that's why people love us.
Yeah.
Very casual, relaxed, but you could dress up and like really hit the streets running with shows. Something for everybody. And that's the other thing is usually when you go to a land destination for gambling, the people that are with you are mad.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing for them to do or they get lost. They don't know where you're at. It's just easier to find somebody on the ship. And there's 7 different lounges, libraries, children programs. You can take the kids. You've got children programs from 2 to 4, 5 to 9. 5 to 8, 9 to 11, 12 to 14, and 15 to 17. And that's why we like, that's why seniors join us a lot, because we hide the kids. Or grandpa will pay for everybody, and then he knows that everybody's going to have a good time.
So you've got lots of food options. I think you've got a sports bar.
Yeah.
You've got
a casino.
You've got the casino. Obviously, you'll have the poker room with us.
And that's exclusive, by the way. We don't do that all the time. So there's going to be 10 tables in a lounge that is just for you guys. That is like your Annie Up private exclusive area that we rarely do. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad you mentioned that, Tommy, because I know that we have a history of doing cruises and Annie Up poker cruises in the past.
Oh, that's right. You've done these. Yeah.
But not with Carnival. And that's why we're really excited to be joining and partnering with you this year, because we do want that exclusive experience for our listeners. And we call them the Annie Up Nation. And, you know, really and truly, like, we're excited to surprise the folks that come and join us this year or next year. Because the level of service, and it's going to be a true experience for everyone.
Cruise experience is a lot better than land, and any cruise, they're all good. And if you hear, well, Carnival's not as good, well, that's, you know, just someone that doesn't know. We carry more seniors than anybody else. Seniors don't come to Carnival because it's a loud party atmosphere. If we were spring break, we wouldn't be the largest cruise line in the world that owns Holland America, Seabourn, Princess Cunard. We basically do it the right way and value. That's the other thing. You know, if you're not going to be knocked out of the ballpark with a $30 extra price and then you're nickel and dime on board for other stuff, our strengths are our strengths.
Right. And I'm also really glad that you addressed the party atmosphere. In that same vein, do you have a spa? Do you have a gym? Do you have, what do you have for spouses?
Let me give you 3 things off the top of my head that avoid that. We're the only cruise line that has a Serenity deck on every ship.
No,
it's
I love
a 21 and older. 21 and older. Other lines have it, but they charge. We have it just for adults, and it's a great area with hammocks, whirlpools, steam near the spa area. We have spas that are like exclusive. So you could get away and never see a kid, even if they're there, but they're not there in October. They're in school. But if they're there, we hide them really well. We keep them engaged. We have so many different activities for so many different age groups. And there are drink packages that are like $60 a day that include everything. And then they're very inclusive with the coffees, the other stuff. Other cruise lines charge minimum, maximum, premium packages. I get so confused. We have one price. And it includes 15 drinks, alcoholic, but you can get water on the side. No extra charge. Coffee, specialty coffees, vitamin waters. We have all the Pepsi products that include a whole portfolio of drinks for people that don't drink. They get good options too to make it a good value for the shakes, the non-alcoholic pina coladas, the coffee, all that stuff. So it's a great value. Again,
yeah.
If you keep things simple, you keep people happy.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is true.
And then you mentioned one of the stops, Half Moon Cay. Tell me a little bit about this, because this is your own island. This is your privately owned place. Tell me a little bit about what to expect there.
It's one of my favorite, because imagine miles of white sand beach, and then you could go out, 250 yards out.
That's huge.
And then you could walk, and the water's up to here, maybe, or on your chest, and it's hot. Warm water, salt water, and you could see your feet way out there. It's the world's largest swimming pool in the ocean. And it's exclusive because it's a moon. It's a half moon. And it's a great place. Great place. And then there's a rum bar by Captain Morgan. Captain Morgan has a rum bar there that is like a captain's pirate ship you can walk up to. But it's really exclusive. We do barbecues. It is a getaway.
Awesome.
You don't want to miss that.
Okay.
It's a getaway. It's a real calm. Yeah, the further out you walk, the less people there'll be there. And you're walking in a private beach, or you'd be with the rest of the people having a good time, or going out to the ocean that's really quiet.
Any excursions that you recommend for Nassau? Because lots of people know about that area, or they've been, or they've heard of it, or they know people have gone. Do you have any?
Standard answer is this. Do the excursion that matches the request that you see fits your needs, because there's adventure ones. There's shopping, there's city tours, there's snorkeling, there's swimming with the dolphins or the stingrays is always popular, especially for the kids, but the adults like it. So yeah, just look at that. Once you're booked, look at the choices. There's so many choices, you'll be fine. And personally, because I've done it often, if there's not one that suits your fancy, just walk around, because it's right there. It's not one of those ports where you need transportation to get to somewhere.
Okay. I keep hearing this from the ladies. What temperature should we plan for in October in Nassau?
Plan for Florida weather, but look on the Google. They tell you what it was last year, the year before. Because I don't tell ladies how to dress. That's the worst thing to do.
fair point.
You've learned well.
Yeah.
I'm married 33 years.
Yeah, congratulations. So we've got the ship. We've got Half Moon Cay, you've got the excursions with Nassau. Is there anything else that you feel like everybody should know before they book?
Again, to those people that have never cruised before, which is a big audience, right? Yeah. I would say give it a try, because it's short, it's fun, it's exclusive, but there's so many things for everybody else to do. How could you not tell your spouse, hey, I'm taking you on a cruise this time? That's like a dream come true.
Right.
Right.
So, and it's more affordable. What we were talking about, you know, you go to Ramsay's or one of these restaurants, $300. What does our steakhouse cost? $48 a person.
Yeah.
Wow.
So celebrate a special anniversary, a birthday. So anything you're celebrating from September to December, make that the anniversary trip or the birthday trip. Because it's going to save you a lot of money. Because we know what happens when you go to Vegas.
Yeah. It stays in Vegas, though.
Yeah. Your wallet, too. And I don't knock it. I mean, they're good. I just try something different. Be a little creative. Try something. You can't miss out.
Right.
I mean, think about being with other Annie people. And I'm not saying it because of you. but there's an exclusive like similarity. You have the same psychographics, not just the demographics of what you like, what you enjoy. So go somewhere where there's going to be people like you enjoying the same thing, especially if it's your first time.
Agreed.
100%. Agreed. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tommy. We thank you so much today just being candid and joining us and answering all the questions that we've been receiving so far and just adding a little bit more color to what we've already thrown out to all of our listeners to let them know we're doing. So we appreciate you so very much.
If you get a lot of unique questions that we didn't cover here, we'll do another one, like a level 2.0 podcast, right? To cover those.
I love it.
Crazy questions, because no question is dumb. I've heard them all.
All right. We will have the website up soon with all of the info and booking links that everybody needs. But we really wanted to make sure we had you on the show, Tommy, to talk a little more specifics, you know, about the ship and the stops, etc. So we really appreciate you. And like I said, if we have more questions, we'll bring you back and talk some more.
See you guys.
Elle, I appreciate you joining me another week.
Always a pleasure being around the table with you, Joe.
Likewise. I'll see you next week.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. He joins us each week to say how he would rule on situations that come up in your games, and he's with me again this week. Elliot, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. Things are going really nicely. How you doing?
I'm doing well. This is a good week. Enjoying the last little bit of weather that we can before, you know, trying to soak it all in before it goes away, the warm weather goes away completely.
It's already done that here.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are up there a little more north, so it's going to go away a little faster. But we've got an interesting Call the Floor this week. I'm really interested to see what you say on this one, because this is one of those situations that I feel like could have happened to me as well. So it's sent in by Seth Kirby, and he says, I'm on the button and sitting next to the dealer. Under the gun, player folds quickly by flinging his cards across the table, and one of them lands on top of my cards. I had not gathered my cards in yet to look at them, so I didn't have them protected, but I could clearly distinguish which card was the under the gun player's and which was mine. I pushed the card off of mine and toward the dealer. The dealer calls the floor, and my hand is ruled dead. Is this correct? The card that landed in front of me was clearly identifiable, and the table agreed that it was clear which cards were mine. So how does that work, Elliot?
Well, it can work in a whole number of ways. Yes, as Seth alluded to, the correct standard of both identifiable and retrievable is applied in a lot of cases where we're trying to figure out whose cards are who. Even with that, that's almost always used to extract somebody's cards from what could be the muck.
Right.
Most rooms are not even going to bother. If you're not protecting your hand before the action's even started, they're not going to care. They're going to take your cards away and be done with it. For better or for worse, maybe it's not the best thing to do, but that's the way most rooms are going to do it. I mean, if there's one time to pay attention, it's when the dealer's dealing the cards. So, yeah, nobody says you have to look at your hand before it's your turn. Nobody's ever going to make you do that. But collecting your cards is still, at some point, the player's responsibility.
Right.
I can empathize. I mean, shoot, nobody wants somebody else to kill their hand. And the dealer wasn't responsible for this, nor were you. It was the other player who decided to send their cards all the way across the table. Not excusable behavior by any stretch. So I'm not looking for one player to effectively muck another player's hand. I don't want that to happen, and we'll certainly go to some length to prevent that. I also want players to pay attention and collect their cards. If you're never going to gather your cards or collect them effectively, what happens when you get extra cards? What are we supposed to do then? You're putting us in a spot where we can't help you. So I understand what the people in that room did, and it's very common, and it probably won't change a whole lot. Yes, your cards were identifiable and retrievable, and by all rights, should have been live. I probably would have made them live, especially in a smaller game. But the higher up you go in the poker room, the more responsibility the players have to protect their own hand and keep the game running accordingly.
Right.
I'm going to give a pretty stern warning to the guy who sent his cards flying across the table. That's completely uncalled for.
Right. Yeah.
Inadvertently or otherwise. He may not have been doing it out of anger. He may just do it because he shoved too hard. But I'm going to tell him to be careful. He's got to have some personal responsibility while he's sitting at the table. Players are responsible for protecting their hands, too. I see where this ruling happened.
Yeah.
I understand why it happened. It may not be correct. I probably would have ruled your hand live just because we could make sure. I want the offending player, the person who sent the cards flying across the table, to be the one paying the price for their actions. But you weren't exactly protecting your hand. You admit it outright.
Right.
I had not gathered my cards yet to look at them, so I didn't have them protected. There you go. And it's generally the first rule on the board for a reason.
Yeah. And he knew that going in. I'm sure, you know, he probably knew what the ruling technically should be. But I will say, like I said, you know, when I started this, this is one that could probably have happened to me as well, because when the dealer starts dealing, then that's when I'll get a drink or, you know, talk to the waitress, you know, whatever in between that. So I could see where...
Stop doing that.
Yeah. Exactly. It's actually one of those things that made me take note and go, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I never thought about somebody else killing my hand, but that's true. Let me ask you if there would have been a possibility of asking the under the gun player that threw his cards. If you asked him what his hand was and then turned that card over.
No, we're giving somebody a free shot.
Yeah.
I don't want cards exposed. Nobody looked at the cards. The cards aren't coming face up. We're giving somebody a free shot to muck somebody's hand by guessing in the dark what the other cards were.
Yeah.
No, that's never going to come into play. Just not going to happen.
I had a feeling you would say that about, especially with the, you know, giving somebody a chance to muck somebody else's hand like that.
Yeah, they got a 2 in 52 shot. Actually, knowing two cards they have, now they got a 2 in 50 shot.
Yeah.
That's already way too much for them to have the chance to make somebody's hand go away.
Right. Yeah. So I get it. That's tough though, having your hand mucked like that. And then Seth actually goes on and says, as a side note, I know the result of the hand doesn't matter, but of course the hand that I actually had would have won the hand. Because these types of things never seem to happen when you have 7 deuce offsuit.
Which, you just don't remember them.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely not memorable. What's the point? Doesn't matter. You were folding anyway.
Yeah.
It's not an issue. Nothing worth remembering and wasting brain cells and synapses on. So, yeah, these stand out, obviously, because, well, every pot you can win is going to be substantial.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Seth, that's a tough one, but that's... that's lesson learned for you and I both, because now I will make sure that my hand is immediately gathered in and protected in some way. So,
yeah. And nobody says you have to look at them.
Yeah.
But you should gather them in. I mean, how do you know what your neighbor's going to do? How do you know he's not going to scoop your card into his hand or muck them by accident or throw his discards on top of them? Right. Take your cards in. Nobody says you got to look at them.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, once they're out of the dealer's hand, hopefully the dealer's getting them to the right spots, but even then you still want those cards protected in some way.
Right. And also to everybody else under the gun player, just give your cards to the dealer. You don't have to be fancy throwing them in either. That only causes problems too.
Right.
So.
Yeah, just set them to the middle of the table, gently.
Yeah.
Right to the middle of the table, preferably towards the muck. Otherwise, yeah, don't act in anger. And yeah, don't be fancy. Don't be cute. We're not judging you on aesthetics.
Yeah, exactly. So Seth, thanks for sending that in. That's, like I said, lesson learned for probably a number of people, but definitely for me too. And if anybody else has a call the floor that they would like to know how Elliot would rule, send it to podcast@anyupmagazine.com. Elliot, I appreciate it.
Quite welcome. Glad to do it. Keep sending those submissions in, everybody.
All right, and we'll see you next week.
I'll see you then.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
Here we are with another Hand of the Week with Patrick.
We're back.
How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. You know, baseball playoffs, unfortunately our teams are not in it again. But, you know, baseball playoffs and football. Hockey got started last night. Bruins are off to a nice start. We, if there's any hockey listeners out there, Connor Bedard is the freak phenom 18-year-old that got drafted number one for the Chicago Blackhawks. And he got himself a goal in his very first game. Got to give him kudos to that. Nice. But he also caught a loss at the hands of the Bruins. So we're off to a good start.
It is a good time of the year if you're a sports fan, for sure.
Oh my gosh, it's the best. It's the absolute best.
Well, from a poker standpoint, this week we have a hand that was sent in by Ty Bartlett.
All right.
And he says, we are playing 1-2, no limit. We have about $1,300 in our stack. So we're pretty deep.
We're doing good. Yeah.
And in this hand, we're going to be under the gun with two red fours.
Fours. I like it.
And we're six-handed at the table.
Okay.
He says, we've been playing for about 7 hours. And it's 1 a.m. and everyone is super deep. So,
all right. That's painting a picture. I like that.
Yeah. So jump right in. Pocket fours. What are you going to do? You're first to act. You've got five people left after you to act.
I like fours. I like pocket pair. I mean, I'm definitely feeling this stack. I'm probably going $10 bet.
That's not a bad bet.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. Okay. Ty actually limps, though,
which I'm
not a fan of that. He says it folds to the small blind, who raises to 20.
Okay.
I get that pocket fours isn't the best, but if you're going to play it, I don't think limping under the gun is a good idea. If you're not comfortable playing it out of position, then just throw it away.
Yeah, throw it away. Just, go to the next one.
Yeah.
All right, so folds, you said small blind, they bet 20?
Yeah.
His big blind call?
No, it comes to you.
Well, playing his hand, he already limped. I'm not going to raise him with pocket four, so I'm going to call.
Yeah, I think that's probably all we can really do at that point. So that's what Ty does as well. He says, I flat. We're heads up to a flop of king of hearts, six of clubs, four of spades. Flop that set right out the gate.
Hello.
The small blind leads into us for $30.
Not enough.
And the pot's what? 42, right? The big blind has his two in there and then our 20s. Yeah. So the pot's $42 and he's leading for 30.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming over. I'm going to bet 60.
Okay.
But let me tell you this. My gut before I just said that was actually 80, and I lowered it, and I have no idea why. But anyway, so I said 60, but I really wanted and gut felt like 80. But yeah, so I would bet, I would stick with the 60. I think that's good.
He just doubled his bet. So,
yeah, I just doubled it.
Yeah, I think.
You would have done 90, 80, 90.
Yeah, I was thinking 2.5, so okay. 75, 80, somewhere in there. Here's the thing, though. I think it's late, one.
Yeah.
Some crazy hands happen when it gets late. you're dealing with people, some people that are stuck and trying to make moves to play big pots, right?
Yep.
You have some people that are drunk because it's 1 a.m. You just never know what you're going to get at 1 a.m. on a 1-2 table.
Yeah, it's a good call.
So I can see just making a call here and get them to keep putting money in the pot on their own. But, you know, if they had something like ace king, then they're going to keep plowing through there. But because of it being late and you never know what you're going to get, I like raising better. So yeah, I'd probably, and the fact that we're super deep, so they're probably going to call you regardless.
Yeah.
So 75, that's what I'm going with.
What did our guy Ty do?
Ty calls.
Okay.
So the pot is 102?
Yeah, 102. Yep.
And the turn is the Five of Diamonds. So a complete rainbow board, right?
Yeah.
Small blind leads into us again for $70. What do you think about all this action when we have a set?
Well, my one fear is that he had kings. But I don't know that I really make him on that very strongly. So he comes in at 70 into a 102 pots. I don't know. I'm making him on like maybe tens or jacks, maybe ace king, maybe ace queen, something like that. I think our set still has him, is what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but to me this feels like somebody that's really just wanting to get us off of our hand.
Yeah.
Like maybe they have ace king and just want us to go away. I don't think they have 7-8 or deuce 3, which are the only things that make a straight, right?
Yeah, no way.
So I think I'd raise here.
So yeah, I mean the two sides of it, playing Ty's hand as is, he called after the flop. Part of me says just call it again and let him keep putting money in now that you've already done that. That was going to be what I was going to say is, okay, we'll play in Ty's hand, not, you know, what we would have necessarily done. He just call the 70, you know, add to that pot, you know, kind of keep the other one guessing, add some more money to the pot after the turn comes out, and then play on the river and go from there.
Yeah.
I see what you're getting out of the bet, though. I'm assuming you're probably like 125, 130-ish plus range. Is that about right?
Yeah, I was thinking 150. Go that 2.5 times again. Okay. Ty raises here, which is...
Okay.
He goes to 175.
Wow, okay.
And the small blind tank calls. So I think that's important. The fact that he thought for a long time before making this call... That means that they have something, but maybe more of a draw.
Yeah. But you've got King of Hearts, Six of Clubs, Four of Spades, Five of Diamonds. I mean, maybe they were.
Now the pot's getting up there, too.
Yeah, that's 452.
Yeah, 452. And the river is the Eight of Hearts.
Okay. Well, now that kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, and the small blind checks to us. What do you think? Are they giving up, or are they trying to bait us?
I mean, here's two schools of thought. If they tank called with the idea that they were thinking they had, let's say they were on a draw, and if they're on a draw, then having 4, 5, 6, 8 on the board, they were on a draw after the flop, then... That does kind of scare me because that's, you know, if they're sitting on a 7.
Yeah, what kind of 7s are we putting in their range there? Like, pocket 7s for sure.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, they could have 6-7 where they flopped a 6, and then the 5 gives them a straight draw.
Yeah.
Open-ended straight draw. So...
But then the other side is, okay, they are baiting us into something that they don't really have. Or they're giving up now. It's like, okay, well, they tried to push it out, but then why call, I guess. late in the night like that, part of me just wants to check.
Yeah. Here's what I think. I probably bet – the pot's 450, right? 452.
Yeah, 452.
I probably bet something like 300.
Cop.
And then if they come over the top, then congrats, you win the pot. A check raise on the river would be pretty strong here. So I think that's what I would probably do. 300. Yeah. So 300 and then fold to a raise. Ty says, I jam, never expecting him to have any combos of 7X here, except maybe 7-7 or ace 7. And given the action, I find ace 7 very unlikely, as well as 7-7, given how strong I'm repping my hand. However, the small blind snap calls and turns over 7-4 offsuit. Whoa. Whoa. Oh. All right. So he says, my question is, am I correct in assuming he should never have any combos of sevens here, or did I just punt off my stack? Let me know your thoughts, please. Well, like I said, I can definitely see some combos of sevens. I wouldn't discount pocket sevens there, and I wouldn't discount 6-7 there either.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing that got me is when he calls our 175 bet, you're not calling with nothing.
I think beyond, you know, whether you put him on a 7 or not, beyond that, like, why are you jamming on the river? The pot's like 450 and you're putting in over 1,000 or somewhere around 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, we put in, yeah, what, 30, 175 is 2. Yeah. You're putting just less than 1,000 probably, or right at it.
Yeah. So that's more of where I think the mistake was, more than reading or misreading their hand. I don't know why you would jam the river for basically double the pot. But yeah, also, I mean, also of note, I know it's late and the game's probably winding down, but if you're ever playing with this person again, you might want to keep in mind that this person just raised 10 times the blind preflop with 7-4 offsuit and then bet 3/4 the pot with third pair and a bad kicker on the flop. So good information to keep in mind there for sure.
Here's my question. Until the 5 comes out, is that guy trying to just go home? Like, he's just, like, what is he doing?
Yeah, like I said, 1-2 late at night, people are either drunk or they're stuck and they're playing some crazy hands to try and get their money back. I mean, some strange things happen at 1 a.m. at a 1-2 table, I'm telling you.
That guy had no business being in that hand for what he was doing until the river came out. Had no business.
Right.
And
right.
Until then, I don't think we played anything wrong. I mean, you could have played it differently, but I don't think Ty played it wrong.
Now, if we go back and we look at, and hindsight's always 20/20, but if you go back and you think, okay, if you would have made a raise on the flop, then maybe we get him to fold. Maybe.
Yeah, he's got the smallest pair and 7 kicker.
Yeah.
See ya.
So yeah, maybe we get him to fold. If we raise pre-flop rather than limping in, then he probably gets out of the way rather than raising it to $20.
Yeah. Especially the combo of it. Let's say we raise pre-flop and then raise after the flop. He's got to
let it go.
He's got to think twice. Unless he's in the one instance he's hammered and just doing whatever he wants. But, I mean, yeah, that combination probably gets him gone. Yeah. I mean, this does go to show you, and I know you preach it all the time, and, you know, I've learned, you know, throughout listening to all you guys, but, I mean, when you've got a strong hand, and look, fours isn't the strongest hand out there by any means, but flopping a set is pretty strong, especially heads up, especially the way that it went, like, get him out.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Crazy things can happen. And in this hand, it did.
Yeah.
That does suck, Ty. I hate that for you. But yeah, I think that two things. One, discounting them having a 7. I think there's a couple there that you should definitely be thinking about. But more than that, I don't think jamming the river was a good idea. I just don't think you want to be putting in 2x the pot, because what are you getting out of that? Are worse hands going to call you? No. You only get called by hands that are going to beat you in that case.
Yeah. What do you say? Lose less, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. that 450, 500 bet, something like that. And, you know, fold if raised.
It is interesting to note also that he was leading into us the whole time that he had the worst hand and then checked when he had the best hand. So
yeah,
all good information to keep in mind for the next time you play this person. So
yes, yeah, seriously, for sure. That was a good one to send in though. That's
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Ty. That was a good one. And anyone has a hand of the week that they would like Patrick and I to break down, send it to podcast@annieupmagazine.com. And we'll do this again next week, Patrick.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, bud.
It's time for Joe's One Outer.
After talking with Tommy about the poker cruises and with all these upcoming tournaments across the country and beyond, I thought some poker travel tips would be good this week. After all, preparing for a poker travel adventure, that involves way more than just packing your bags. I would say after you've chosen your destination, you should create a budget for your trip. Of course, account for travel expenses, but also your tournament buy-ins, accommodations, food, and entertainment. If your destination is out of the country, say maybe on a cruise or something, you'll need to make sure your passport and any other travel documents are up to date. I'd say also to register for the poker tournaments you plan to play well in advance if you can. This not only guarantees your spot, but may also save you money through early registration discounts. Make sure to specify what the bankroll will be for your poker games and don't intermingle that money for other entertainment options. And take the travel insurance. It'll be worth it. It can cover any unexpected events that could cause you to cancel your trip, including medical emergencies. Then don't forget to let your bank and credit card companies know that you're going to be out of town or out of the country in order to avoid any issues with your cards while you're gone. Also, I don't think it ever hurts to carry some local currency if you're out of the country. Pack for both the poker tables and any other activities you may be doing. Don't forget chargers, adapters, and any specific poker gear you might want, like that lucky shirt or card protector. And keep an eye on the local weather updates and travel advisories wherever you will be. Try to travel with friends and, if possible, reach out to other poker players who have traveled to the same place or experienced the same tournaments you plan to attend. You never know what insights they may have. The primary purpose of your trip may be poker, but don't forget to explore and enjoy the local culture, cuisine, and experiences that the area has to offer. Remember that it's not just about the cards. It's also about the journey and the experiences along the way. That's today's One Outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The Annie Up Podcast is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@AnnieUpMagazine.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.